I'm Andrew Murata, host of the Education, Leadership, and Beyond podcast, a part of the Education Podcast Network, just like the show you are listening to now. Shows on the network are individually owned and opinions expressed may not reflect others. Find other interesting education podcasts at edupodcastnetwork.com.
Welcome to Transparency in Teaching, the podcast where real teachers share their insights, experiences, and solutions to the challenges they face in the classroom. Whether you're a seasoned educator seeking new approaches, a student considering a career in teaching, or a concerned citizen eager to support our teachers and improve our education system, this podcast is for you. Get ready for another info-packed episode, empowering advocates for change. Now, here are your hosts, Anne, Jen, and Sharon.
Episode to find out everything that's going on in today's classrooms that you don't know about but probably should. So here with you today is me and
Jen. Yep,
Jen's here.
I'm
too.
Here.
She didn't say and.
Jen's here, and Jen is getting pumped up on coffee. She don't drink coffee, folks. So hope you can understand what I say because I might talk a little fast today.
They're probably happy. It's like, oh, good. The episode will go by faster than normal.
Yeah. Too bad.
Oh, my gosh. Today's topic, Jen, I don't know. Can you smell something burning?
Oh, yeah. It's my teacher brain. It's my brain.
Yeah. I think a lot of teachers are burning their brains right now. And I think it's an appropriate time right now to talk about teacher burnout, being that most teachers are on or close to vacation time.
Yes.
And I'm sure they're chomping at the bit to get to that day when they don't have to wake up and worry about all the stuff teachers have to do every day. So that's what we're going to focus on today.
But they'll still wake up, though, because, you can never get all of that quite flushed out of your brain unless it's summer vacation. Brains are going a million miles an hour at all times.
That's right.
So sleeping in, good luck, teachers. Ain't going to happen.
So that's what we're going to focus on today in today's episode is teacher burnout, what it is, the reasons for it, and what you should do in order to fix it, because it's a big problem. So
cute.
We'll get into all of that right after this. So, teacher burnout. I know quite a few teachers who are currently in the process of experiencing burnout to a maximum level.
Maximum. Yeah. I know a teacher just from my school that is taking a year off because they are so burnt out. They couldn't do it. They needed a break. Yeah.
So there's an article in EdWeek I read, and I want to know if this sounds familiar to you. I'm just going to read this paragraph from the article. It said, the middle school math teacher worried she was burned out. Her district had instituted an intense new math curriculum standards without providing resources to cover those lessons. She was constantly sick from the mold in her classroom, but when she reported it to administrators, they only painted over the mold. Rather than run serious student disciplinary issues up the chain, her principal sent students back to class as if nothing had happened. And then the teacher said that she was also beleaguered by parents who made ridiculous requests, such as, my children like it when their teachers attend their sports events. Your attendance at all the attached games would be appreciated. And did you get the homework out of Brentley's locker?
And this was an interesting article, right? Because the person that wrote this article, we were talking about this, actually followed this teacher around for an entire year, right?
Uh-huh. And she actually came up with the idea that it's not that teachers are burned out because of all the work that they're doing, but they're actually being set up to fail by the entire system. So we'll find out if you tend to agree with that. I kind of do. I kind of do agree with that. So let's talk about what teacher burnout is. And there are, if you want a formal definition, you can look at the World Health Organization's 2019 updated definition of burnout, which they say is, and I quote, "Burnout is a syndrome conceptualized as resulting from chronic workplace stress that has not been successfully managed. It is characterized by three dimensions. One, feelings of energy depletion or exhaustion.
Ding, ding, ding.
Increased mental distance from the job or feelings of negativism or cynicism related to one's job.
Ding, ding, ding.
And reduced professional efficacy. Or you can go to Psychology Today and they define burnout as a state of chronic stress that leads to physical and emotional exhaustion, cynicism, detachment, and feelings of ineffectiveness and lack of accomplishments. Where do you fit in that? You're still in the classroom, Jen. Do you have any of those?
Yes. I will take all of the above for 500. Yes.
Mm-hmm. For a 500% raise?
Yes. 500% of all of it. Yes. Definitely the energy depletion or exhaustion. Like for some reason this year, like at first I thought like, man, do I have like, I don't know. Did I get COVID and it just, the tiredness part never went away? No, that's not it. I don't know. It doesn't matter what I do. Like I said, I'm drinking coffee today. I don't drink coffee, but I'm just so tired all the time. Like I come home and I don't want to do anything. I don't want to work out. Some days, like cooking is one of my jams, right? I love to cook. Man, this year, I've cooked the least amount that I've ever cooked because I'm just so freaking tired when I get home. Like, I don't even want to do that. You know what I mean?
Yes, I do know what you mean.
And I'm so tired. And on top of that, I'm not sleeping well because I never can hardly turn my brain off, you know, when I go to bed because I lay down and I start lesson planning or I'm thinking of my day the next day or dreading my day the next day, just depending on what's going on, you know, and that, you know, that's not helpful either. Not getting a good night's sleep because you're constantly thinking about that crap.
Exactly. But, and then you feel like you didn't sleep like, at all.
Yeah.
The cycle,
the domino effect.
Yeah. And I think for me, what I tend to experience, maybe even maybe I have post-traumatic teaching stress or something, is cynicism, right? Where you just get really like, oh, this doesn't matter. What am I doing? That nobody cares.
If they don't care, why should I?
Nothing I do is going to make any difference. And you keep telling yourself those things. And then eventually, you know, you basically just buy into it or you bitch about it in the teacher's lounge. You know, they talk about burnout actually being contagious.
Yeah.
They've done 100% studies to show that there is some effect of being on the team of, you know, this team cynicism, right? When you tend to go into the teacher's lounge and you bitch about your day and then somebody goes, yeah, and they bitch about their day. And I know that's part of the reason a lot of teachers, at least at our school, stopped even going into the teacher's room.
Into the lounge. Yeah.
Because of that, because of the negativity that's going in there. And I think that can be especially influential on new teachers who are hearing, you know, veterans who've been at it for years, bitching and moaning how awful the job is. Yeah. And then they just are getting started. So
that was actually one of my panels of advice to one of our new teachers, my student teacher that got hired on. I said, you know, and I hated to do it, but I pointed some people out and I was like, stay away from this person. Stay away from this person. You know what I mean? Because this person will just talk shit and bring your ass down. So, you know, I hated doing it, but it was for, you know, his own good. I was like, oh, you know.
Right.
Eyes and byes. Don't get into conversations with these ones.
Eyes and byes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hi. Bye.
Gotta go. Yeah.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. It's true though. You do have to watch out for that. Especially new teachers. They are, I think, hugely susceptible to burnout.
Yeah. They're like children. They're sponges. Yeah.
Well, they go into the job, I don't think, really adequately prepared for what it all entails to begin with. And then I'm working with student teachers and interns right now, and just the amount of extra work on top of their teaching assignments that they have to
do. That is ridiculous. I don't know how a new teacher like does it. Like, hats off to them. Like all of the, oh my gosh, the stuff that they have to do for their own schoolwork, right. on top of just trying to survive their first or second year,
right.
you know, and all the meetings and stuff, like that is insane. That's ridiculous. That's burnout right there just for, you know, a new teacher to have to do all of that. I was talking to a teacher the other day at work. Actually, I was laughing at a teacher the other day at work. And he was telling me, he's like, oh my God. He goes, you know what I have to do? I have to like record myself teaching. Did you have to do that? And I said, no, buddy, I'm old school. Like I was doing bits. It's not even called that anymore. And he's like, what the, when the heck and how the heck? And boy, he was just going off, but it was kind of funny because he was, you know, making a big deal about it.
It's a big deal.
But I was like, I'll help you. Do you need me to come into your class and, you know, record you? What are you? Oh my God. Like, I was like,
it's awful. Oh, it is
like,
awful.
How am I supposed to do that? I'm like, I don't even know.
So, I mean, and it's worse. It's worse for student teachers. So all teachers, student teachers or interns. And if you don't know the difference, a student teacher works in a classroom under the direction of a, what they call a cooperating teacher. The teacher, the main teacher in the classroom. So they work under mm-hmm. their guidance, where an intern is basically, here's your class, go for it.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
They are getting a salary. So that's different. So student teachers are not getting paid nothing to do what they're
not
doing.
A dime.
Mm-mm. Well, interns are getting paid. Yeah. They are getting paid, but they're not getting,
they have no guidance.
Exactly. Well,
yeah,
they're supposed to have a mentor at their school who the school is supposed to choose and then put that mentor's name to the school that they're working out of, to the university. And that mentor is supposed to check in with them for at least an hour a day. So they're supposed to have 72 hours of mentorship from that person. And I'm telling you,
just
right
check
now,
in or like in the classroom with them.
They should be there to check in with them, watch them teach, give them advice, being basically a support system for them. But I know for a fact that's not happening.
Yeah.
At least not to the degree that it should be. So yes, you're right. These new teachers, student teachers, for example, have to do their full-time teaching. They're in school all day from bell to bell. And then they have a night class at least once a week. And then they have all this other documentation they have to do. And the interns.
And somehow pay their bills, right? And somehow pay their bills.
And somehow pay. They don't. Yeah.
Yeah. That's correct. I don't get
it. That's no. What you're never going to get.
It's not. It's not possible. It's not realistic. Unless you know, are living at home with mommy and daddy who has money to support your asshole. You know what I mean? Like.
Right. I mean, you're starting out. Ridiculous. Starting out stressful. And I have to say kudos to the teachers that I've worked with, the interns and student teachers I've worked with over the last couple of years. They are give me hope for the future, you know, and I just don't want them to come into a classroom their first year. Cause you're right. The new teachers have induction for 2 years in California.
It's insane.
It's not the kind of support they need. It's more paperwork.
Yeah.
It shouldn't be. It should be just, you have a mentor that comes in, sits in your class and supports you as you need. And schools, the administration of the schools who hire these new teachers, I think it's their responsibility to actually find other teachers who are willing to help mentor these new teachers and be there for them to answer questions. And not, don't go and get the cynical ones. Go find, you know, Pollyanna somewhere to help them out. You know? So I'm sitting here looking at this. There's actually a test that you can yourself. It was developed by a Flemish group of people in the Netherlands where they tested thousands of teachers against this tool. And so they've standardized it and normalized it. And you can actually go online. I'll put the links to it.
Yes, take the test.
So you can read the manual
results.
You can read the manual and to know how to like score yourself on it. But basically, just to give you an idea, it's called the BAT, the burnout assessment for teachers of test. And it measures you on your core symptoms. So the symptom of exhaustion, the symptoms of mental distance, cognitive impairment, emotional impairment. And then there's two secondary symptoms it also measures, which are psychological complaints and psychosomatic complaints. So just to give you an idea of some of the questions they ask, it says on a scale of one never to five always, at work I feel mentally exhausted.
Five.
Everything I do at work requires a great deal of effort.
On that, I'm probably about at a four.
Okay, so then let's go to your cognitive impairment. At work, I struggle to think clearly.
Oh, yeah, that's an 8.
I'm forgetful and distracted at work.
Oh, yes, 8.
Okay, so here's some psychological complaint symptoms. I have trouble falling or staying asleep.
Yeah, I can't. 100%. 5.
I tend to worry.
I should probably worry more than I do, actually.
0.
2.
Okay, here's some psychosomatic complaints. I suffer from palpitations or chest pain.
You know what's crazy? I've actually been to the doctor for this because I felt like my heart was gonna like jump out of my chest. That's happened to me like kind of a lot, actually. Oh. To the point where my doctor wanted me to wear a heart monitor for a while. It got shut down. Like, they didn't go through with it. Thanks, Kaiser. If I have a heart attack, I'm coming after y'all. But yeah, my doctor actually wanted me to wear a heart monitor because I was like, I'm having these things. It's like where I feel like my heart skips a beat and then it sucked the air out of my chest. And I have a hard time like breathing. Like, I've experienced that. Oh gosh, is that what this is all about? I think I just solved my problem.
And then I think some people get this too. I suffer from headaches, or I often get sick.
I'm the migraine queen. I get migraines like crazy, like that. I have prescribed medication for it because my migraines are so bad. Yeah. Oh God.
Yikes.
It's all coming together now. I need a new job. I need a new job. If I want to sleep but don't want to have migraine and I want my heart to be healthy, I need a new job.
Shit. Oh, I know. So anyway, those are a few questions that this asks. And I don't know, maybe if you're listening to this and now you're feeling triggered. I don't know.
I know. I think I feel a migraine coming on right now.
Oh, no.
Kidding.
Oh, my gosh. Well, so what are they saying causes burnout? I mean, experts. So, yeah, this is something people are studying, and they have identified several causes for teacher burnout, like inadequate workplace support and resources, an unmanageable workload, testing, right? Pressure to make sure your kids test well, time pressure. I used to feel that all the time, especially.
Oh, that's a big one for me. That's a big one for me because we lose so much time. Like, we're expected to get through this certain amount of curriculum, and yet we're so many days and so much time are being pulled from us. That's a huge one. And I could tell you right now, like 90% of the teachers that I just work with, this is a conversation I've had with a lot of them. They're like, how the heck am I supposed to, or, you know, I got a big one was last year, you know, man, this year I got through the least amount of curriculum that I've ever gotten through. I only got to this chapter or this unit. That I heard that from so many teachers. I was so far behind. Yeah.
I know. There's so many interruptions, days taken away. Mm-hmm. And then you're still expected to cover everything.
Yeah.
I think another big one, and this is when another one that experts have identified, and that is unsupported, disruptive student needs.
Ugh.
Without the resources to meet them. So, you know, it's the kids who are, and it's honestly, in all the years that I was teaching, the last few years were the worst. I think COVID didn't help at all.
Yeah.
A big burnout came when asking teachers to remote teach and, you know, hybrid teach. So they were teaching kids remotely and online and in the classroom at the same time. And so I think the last few years is the worst with student behavior because of all.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
You know, and that it seems like at least in our school when I was there, I don't know how it is now with new administration, but when I was there, it seemed like it was a lot of nothing getting done. If you sent a disruptive student out, they were right back in your classroom disrupting it again with a kind of like.
Yeah. Yes. Such a slap in the face. Yeah. Yes.
I think that that definitely would make you feel like you don't matter as a teacher when you get that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then we talked a little bit about burnout contagion, right? So teachers who maybe aren't feeling that way hang around with a lot of teachers who are feeling that way. And then all of a sudden they're like, oh yeah, wait, huh, I feel that. Oh yeah, that's happening in my room.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. And so that-
it's so contagious. Like there's certain teachers that I know, yeah, to have a conversation with about something completely not work related, because once that teacher starts going and you know, you know, just like any normal conversation, you don't want to be rude. Okay, got to go. Like, I'm out of here. You know, you're talking about crap that's bringing me down. But it's true. Like, I've had, you know, conversations with teachers and I walk away going, gosh, you know what I mean? And I'm snapped into, you know, this funk. Head funk of,
yeah,
fuck this job. You know what I mean? It's like, right. Okay, now I've got to consciously get myself out of it and I got to go back into my room and, you know, I got to be a good teacher. You know, it's hard. It's tough.
But at the same time, I always felt like people, you need a place to vent because you can't.
It's therapeutic.
Keep it in there.
Yeah. But I think there's ways to vent and there's ways to just like bring shit down. I mean, let's vent and this is what's happening. And does anybody have any suggestions on what I can do about this problem? That I think that's a therapeutic. That's a good vent. But when it's like, fuck this school, you know, fuck my principal, this sucks, this, you know what I mean? It's just, it's not like a therapeutic kind of talk. It's like, everything's bad.
It's word vomit. And I think a lot of people, like you said, Jen, I think you're right, that when it's like, I'm having this problem, this is really hard, give me some help, is different than, this sucks. And then they don't want to hear suggestions for how to make it better.
That person that you give suggestions to, well, that'll never work. You know, they just automatically shoot it down. Exactly.
Yeah. Those are the people you got to stay away from, you know, and hopefully the sad thing is those are the people who need the most support, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
So that would be things like, how do you help a coworker who is that down the path of, you know, I can't do this anymore, because we are losing so many teachers a year that they can't even fill all the teaching profession, you know, positions that are open right now. Between February 20th and May 2022, it was estimated that over 300,000 public school teachers and other staff quit because of burnout. I mean, that's just in over 2 years. That's right after COVID too. About 20% of those teaching positions are still left unfulfilled. I don't know. You gotta give teachers more support, and you can't just the teacher that's that at that gone level. I think somehow somebody, I don't know if it's the wellness center or whatever you have at your school that needs to like reach out to those people and save them, because we can't keep losing teachers to this, because no one is coming into this profession. I'm telling you.
If I could just look into a crystal ball into the future, like I really want to see what is this all going to look like in a couple of years, because there's hardly any teachers, you know, climbing up the ladder right now, you know, to get into those classrooms. So it's and then you know what's going to happen. They're just going to hire freaking anybody.
That's what's happening. What do you mean going to happen? It is happening.
It is starting to happen for sure. No. But like, can you imagine in a couple years?
57% of schools admitted to having to give teachers more work due to the fact that many positions go unfilled. There's a whole bunch of problems there, not to mention some other problems too. One of the big ones was managing student behavior and supporting their academic learning. These were big stresses for teachers. Black teachers in particular were significantly more likely to intend to leave than their peers. And teachers who intended to leave were most likely to cite the stresses of disappointments of the job. You know, it's not worth it. Their salary or the number of working hours as top reasons. Teachers reported poor well-being, and they were more likely than almost any other job nationally. Teachers rank highest in burnout.
Yeah.
You know, it's bad. And some of them report like money, like it's not worth the money to become a teacher or even to get support staff.
Yeah. We've got a couple of teachers that have quit because, you know, they had an illness, you know, they had cancer, and then, you know, they went through, you know, their chemo and this and that. And thank God, you know, they beat it and got better. But now it's like, I can't be a teacher anymore because the stress level is so high. It is detrimental to my health. You know what I mean? We've had teachers quit because of that.
Of course. And then it's not just teachers though. You've got paraprofessionals, right?
They're having huge
trouble finding, you know, paraprofessionals that are a vital part of classrooms, especially with kids that have special needs or helping out in, you know, places where kids are doing intervention classes and things like that. They need these people. But when a school district is only going to pay a paraprofessional $17 an hour,
like, why the hell would you do it?
Especially when you can get a job for $22 an hour at Kentucky Fried Chicken or something like that.
Right.
You know, what does that say respect wise about what your job is?
My paraprofessional that I have is, and I only have her for one class, but she's everything. She is everything to me. And thank God, like, you know, her home life, you know, they've got money. She doesn't do it for the money. She does it for, you know, because, you know, she likes it. I think she likes it. I don't know. But yeah, she's good at it. You know, she's everything to me. I would cry if I did not have her. But yeah, what she makes, I'm like, why?
It's below the poverty level.
It's insane what these people put up with every single day. You know. Mm-hmm. And the money that they make, like, it's sad. It's sick. You know what I mean?
I know. Yeah. Unfortunately, in this world nowadays, the amount of money you make tends to be connected to the amount of respect you get. And so when teaching and doesn't have a lot of respect, because people are like, why would you do that? There's no money in it and all the junk up with it and the hours you work, most teachers make between, if you broke it down, between $20 and $50 an hour, right? That's for a person that has an advanced degree. You know, this is talking about people who have masters and PhDs that are working in these jobs that would pay way more if they were in any other field. You get what you pay for, let's put it that way. You know, if you're not willing to put the money into the profession in order to attract the best of the best, then, you know, that's what you're left with. And I don't mean to put down and say that teachers that are working now aren't doing the best that they can, but we're talking about the future and the fact that it's getting hard to convince people to come into the profession and the fact that they're, you know, they're combing pretty much, but pulling people off the street. You know, I think another thing that's happening now that wasn't happening so much when I was coming up through the ranks was all of the political pressure from the outside sources. Now, parents coming in and saying that, oh, you can't do this, you can't teach that. Board meetings where the board is making decisions about curriculum and punishing teachers for having discussions about certain types of topics. So I think that's another problem. Some other teachers said, not just the political things, but a lot of teachers are often feared for their physical safety now. With the school shootings and things like that. And not just school shootings. I mean, you do hear about kids. I just heard about a kid was it San Bernardino? A student saw a couple other students throw something away in the trash can in the bathroom, went in there to inspect it and found a loaded gun and reported it, as he should have. And they're, you know, praising it. So yeah, I mean, there, I know other teachers who have had physical violence against them.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I know a lot of them, actually. A lot of them just from my school. It's a rare, it's a valid fear. It is. Yeah.
More than school shootings, it's the kids themselves that are somewhat dangerous to a lot of teachers now. You know, kids that just come up and just smack teachers in the face. Right? That there's no respect for the teacher or the profession, I think. And that's another reason people are feeling burnt out. If you had to go to school every day and worry about what you said, worried about if you're going to get beat up by a student, you know,
that's worry about coming into the parking lot and your car's keyed or something. Yeah. Those are all things that teachers go through on a daily basis.
Right. For a lot of teachers, it certainly is. What do you think about salary? Like, do you think that's a reason teachers get stressed out?
100%. But I think it's more of, at least in my experience, I think that's more of the new teachers, because, you know, the longer you're a teacher, the more you make. I mean, I'm not complaining about what I make as a teacher. I mean, it suffice. Right. But like the newer teachers, yeah. Like teachers make good money eventually, but not for many, many years. Right.
And especially if you don't have a master's degree. No, it's not just a master's degree. It's a master's degree plus 60 more units beyond that. Compensation for educators has basically flatlined in the past mm-hmm. 2 decades when you adjust it for inflation. And that's according to the Bureau of Labor Statistics. And it basically is also way below other career paths that require similar levels of education and expertise. Again, that has to do with, you know, respect that goes with it. About 45% of teachers said they do not feel respected or seen as professionals by the general public, right? And some of the teachers said that to combat burnout, they felt better after raising salaries and hiring more teachers. But they also said that districts that provided more mental health and behavioral support for students help, because the students are the ones that actually really, really need it.
That's huge.
Let's switch gears here and let's talk about how to combat teacher burnout. So I was Googling articles like, what ways to fight against burnout? And there's all these articles like 8 ways to combat teacher burnout, or 15 proven ways. Basically, they were like, stay healthy. That's one of
them. Okay. I have a problem with that one. I have a huge problem with that one. So what about that teacher that we started the show off with talking about? She had mold in her classroom. How is she expected to stay healthy when problems aren't being fixed, right? Like, our school is so freaking old. We're coming up on 100 years for my school, and it has original paint. You know, that shit's full of lead. Like, our classrooms are just so old, and there's constantly like smells, and it's just, I know for a fact that there's no way that we are staying healthy with the conditions that we are working in. There's no freaking way.
Well, I mean, not only that, it's like, if you're supposed to exercise, if you're so burnt out and tired, how are you going to do that? You know, how do you eat right when you've got 30 minutes for lunch, maybe, and you have to do detention at lunch or whatever, or you have to stay late for whatever meeting, or, you know what I mean? It's just.
Right. You get to go to the bathroom one time a day. Yes. Like, no, this is the truth. We have a teacher that has chronic bladder infections because she never
get
to the bathroom.
That's a common teacher problem.
Common. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's a common teacher problem. So I thought that was funny. Stay healthy. Well, yeah, no shit. Right.
Yeah. That would be good. In a perfect world. And then I would be.
You hear a lot of people say things like, well, you just got to give yourself more time to relax.
Yeah. Me time. You need me time.
Again. When?
Yeah. Especially if you're one of those, you know, people that come home to such a busy life with your own kids and your own shit going on. You know what I mean? Like, that's hard.
There's plenty of teachers who are going through other things, family issues at home. They may have somebody sick at home, or they may be going through relationship changes and things like that. When I think about me time, I think what that should mean is that you stop taking stuff home from work.
Oh yeah. I stopped doing that years ago.
I never did. And I don't know. I'm a weirdo. I swear to God. If an administrator could make a rule like at 4:30 or 3:30 or whatever, you are out. And you don't take anything home, and you do not lesson plan at home. But then if you're going to do that, then they have to make time for the teachers to have that at school and stop taking their planning time away from them from meetings or whatever day you do your PLC with your groups. Do not let the administrators come in there and commandeer your time.
Take it over. Yeah.
So I think me time is that, is saying that putting your foot down and saying that my family deserves my time.
Yeah. Well, and that's how it should be. Your job is not your life, right? Like,
it shouldn't be.
It shouldn't be. Yeah. And if it is, people out there, change that shit. Like, your family is more important than your career. It just is.
I remember the first year I taught, I was like that. I came to school before they opened the gates. I would wait for the custodian to get there. And I was always, I was always the last one to leave. I was the last person to leave the campus almost all the time. In fact, my mother used to bring beer to the custodian so that they'd watch me over me at night. Cause I seriously,
oh my gosh,
I didn't have kids then either though, but I seriously would not leave school sometimes till 9 or 10 at night. And then
what the heck?
Yeah. That's what I did. And then I would come home and work. And cause back in those days,
how did you stay a teacher for so long? I'd have been,
I don't know. I need the money.
Out. Yeah.
My husband had a spending problem. I don't know. but I, you know, back in those days, you had to, there was no copy machines. There was nothing, you know, back when you had to walk 5 miles in the snow one way to school. Anyway, I used to have to make all my worksheets by hand on a carbon.
On a carbon, girl, you're talking like dinosaur shit now. Dang. Oh my gosh.
So that's
did what, you look through microfiche?
Yes. And then you had to go, then I had to get to school early enough so that I could crank. I had to crank, hand crank my Dittos.
Did you churn your own butter too? What the heck?
Yeah. Oh, we put the butter inside the Ditto machine.
Jeez.
That's stupid. Yeah. So Mickey me time. That's a lovely thought, but I think for a lot of teachers, that's an unreasonable ask as far as curing your burnout.
Yeah.
And then, another one said,
smile, what the fuck? Smile and laugh physically changes your body chemistry.
Right. Right. The Association for Psychological Science asserts that smiling not only improves your mood, but others as well. Well, that's great, but I think when you start smiling too much, people are going to think you're crazy.
Yeah. Like that movie Smile. Creepy. I like for smile, like I'm sometimes. Okay. So you know that I have a problem when I get the giggles, like I'm done. Like I am I can't function because everything makes me laugh. And when I get the giggles at school or when I get the giggles in class with the kids, I'm so extra. It's so like, I can't stop laughing. I think because like, I'm so stressed out all day. And then when that crack happens, right. And I start laughing, I can't control it. And I can't, you know what I mean? I did the other day. I was like, I'm done. There is no teaching happening during this period. Cause I couldn't get my shit together. I could not get it together. I was laughing so hard.
Some of that is like, you just get so like you're just laughing at your situation. Like it's so ridiculous.
Well, it was something one of the kids said and I lost it. I just started and the kids were like, it's not even that funny, but because I couldn't stop laughing, then they were laughing. So we just laughed all period pretty much. But like normally I don't think I would have laughed that hard at what this kid said, but I think because there's so much stress and everything throughout the day that to find something funny or good like that, I take it too far sometimes. Like I couldn't reel it back in. I couldn't get it back. I was like, oh God, I'm a goner. I'm a total goner.
I think if you can like step back for a moment when you're feeling like the worst and just go, this is so stupid. This particular day that everything shitty is happening isn't going to matter.
Yeah.
You know, it's going to be gone. So just take a breath, brush it off and go, whatever, and move on to something else or change. I mean, nobody says you have to follow through with your lesson plan. If you're feeling totally stressed out, I don't know, put a movie on if you have to, you know, or change gears or have them color a picture. I don't know. But I think you could just sometimes I think smile by itself is to me, it's more like just kind of look at your situation and go, whatever, and then just let it go, because it's, you know, at that point you're not going to change it.
Yeah. I have a slideshow of probably like 30 something slides, and each slide is just a real quick, anywhere from 30 seconds to like a minute and a half, a funny YouTube video, just stupid stuff. Most of them are like little kids doing dumb funny shit. And there's times where I'll just stop my lesson, especially if we're taking notes and we're really like hammering, you know, and I'll just stop and I'll be like, all right, we need a brain break. I need a brain break. I don't know about you guys, but I need a brain break. And I'll just put one of these quick, funny videos on and we'll have a quick laugh. And keep going. It's almost like, for me, it's almost like a refresher. Like, okay. I got my energy back. I got my flow. Let's go. You know what I mean? Like, I find myself doing that a lot more lately, but I need that sometimes, that little just, okay, let's stop. Let's regenerate. Let's have a good laugh.
How would you like to give me the link to that? When we can share your link and they can make a copy.
Oh my, just stupid, funny, quick laughs. Or sometimes they're just like stories. Like I told the kids a story the other day of something crazy thing. They kids love stories, and my kids are older and they love stories. So, you know, if you've got any kind of story, you know, related to what you're teaching or even not, just stop for a minute and tell a story.
We talked about this a little bit before. When you're feeling burnt out, to talk to colleagues. I think it depends on who you talk to. Don't go talking to the colleague that's also going to burn out.
And you know what I find helpful too sometimes is talk to colleagues that you don't necessarily work with, right? I've got a lot of friends that are teachers that don't work at my school in my district. And I find it helpful to talk to them sometimes about, you know, things going on at school or whatever. You know, again, as long as it's, a positive, constructive type of conversation, not like, my kids suck, you know, devil spawns. Yeah.
Misery loves company, right? So, you know, once it gets going and then they're like, yeah, me too. Yeah. What about this? And then you start playing the what about game and it just gets worse and worse and worse and worse. Another one I think is, and I know a few of my teacher friends have this problem. They feel like hopeless. Like there's nothing I can do. This is awful. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of it has to do sometimes when you start caring so much for your students and all their trauma that they bring to class. And there are certain teachers who kids glom onto because
yes,
the teacher is like very motherly or very caring. They always have their room open. They're listening to all of their troubles. And somehow as teachers, you know, while we are supposed to be advocates and mandated reporters and all of that business, we can't fix their problems.
No.
We can't, and you have to understand that as a teacher, that it is not up to you to solve every trauma, every emotional issue, every problem that a student.
Well, you can get yourself in a lot of trouble doing that too. So it's like, you know what I'm saying? Like that motherly or that fatherly teacher. Yes. Come in, tell me all your problems. Now you're opening up a can of worms. Okay. Do I have to, you know, I'm a mandated reporter. Do I need to report these things? You know, and then a lot of what you've got to really be careful for is when you invite that kind of, you know, relationship in, kids twist things, right? Oh, yeah. I was talking to my teacher about this and this was their advice, or they said this, and it could be something completely construed. Kids hear what they want to hear.
Point, Jen.
That's dangerous. You got to be very, there's a fine line, you know, when you're, you know, letting kids in and you're discussing their problem. That's what the counselors are for.
Right. That's what
you
have
know,
to do.
Like, be very careful. That's
not your hat.
That's a fine line to tread. Yeah. It's not.
Yeah. And that's an excellent, excellent point to be aware of. It's yes, we care about our students. We love our students. We want them to be happy. But as a human, you can't take all that burden on as yours either. So let that shit go. Give it to the counselors. They're trained for that. That's why they're there. They know how to deal with it. Like Jen said, you don't want to have to go get some union representative to bail you out.
I've seen it happen so many times. Could have all been avoided. Yes.
Don't take on your kids' problems as your own. Be supportive. Point them in the right direction to find help. If necessary, talk with their parents and tell them that, you know, what's going on. If it's, I always just pass things off on the counselors here. So Susie's having problems here. Call her in.
Yeah. They're trained for that. They know how to deal with that kind of stuff. I'm here to help, support, and teach. I'm not here to give you life advice. Stay in your lane, teachers, stay in your lane. Cause that'll just bring you problems. Yes.
Bite you in the butt later.
Yes.
And it brings you down too.
It does. It's depressing.
And I know I have particular teacher friends I know that are like that, and they are in all the kids' business and it just weighs on them.
Yes, it does.
Another piece of advice they had is to leave schoolwork at school. We talked about this a little bit before. I couldn't do it very well. You know, what's really interesting, in all the years I taught, I started teaching in 1986 was my first year. And I retired a couple of years ago. Oh, that sounds so weird already. 2 years ago? Oh my Lord.
Yeah, 2 years.
Yeah, strange. But I don't remember ever having that burnout feeling in all that time. I mean, there were times I felt like overwhelmed, but I never felt like I can't do this job anymore. Oh my God, don't talk about school. Ah, I never felt like that. Yeah. And I'm seeing a lot more people get there now. And so I think maybe boundaries are really important, because I didn't do that, but that wasn't my personality. But I think it would have been better for me perhaps if I had learned how to like shut it down. So what if it doesn't get graded by tomorrow? Mm-hmm. You know, I think you just need to let students know that from after this time, I am no longer teacher. Now I am, you know, my personal life. So
yeah,
it might take me longer to get things graded or to do, to, you know, finish lesson plans or whatever. But if you can figure out a way to do that, I don't know. Are you very good at that?
I'm actually very good at that.
But what's your advice? Give me some advice.
Well, like, so when you're a newer teacher, right, you don't have all your rhythms and routines down. I think that is a learned behavior. The more years you teach, the better you get at.
Yep.
Like, 100%. Okay, this, I'm going to grade this now. Like, this is this, like prioritize, you know, what needs to happen. Cause I haven't taken anything home for years, but also I'm on my 19th year of teaching. You know what I mean? But some of our newer teachers at school, you know, one particularly comes to mind, you know, is constantly working on things at home. But I mean, I get that. I think it would actually make that person a little crazy if they didn't do that. And especially for new teachers, God, they've got so many other things, like we said, going on with all of their added schoolwork and blah, blah, blah.
For me, like when I first started teaching, there was none of that. I didn't do it. I graduated from college and I had my teacher credential. That was it.
I went through BITSA.
I didn't have to do that either.
Thank God my BITSA support or mentor, whoever, what do you want to call them, was like, this is so stupid. And she did most of it for me.
I had the benefit of having quite a few teachers that were in that, you know, had my back. Those first mm-hmm. couple of years, they would literally come and check on me several times a day, ask me how I was doing, give me advice.
Yeah.
And so I always felt very supported that way. And maybe because I had that when I began, that it gave me a better foundation than some of these students
maybe
thrown to the lions, you know?
Yeah. 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 I couldn't imagine starting being a teacher and just having no support, no colleagues to, you know, collaborate with. Like, why would you stay a teacher? It's a very lonely road. But yeah, like you said, like me, I started out and I had just, you know, one person in particular, man, she took me under her wing and just helped me with everything, you know? And I think if schools have those support systems in place, or, you know, maybe there's a designated teacher that that just kind of is in charge of the new teachers, you got to have something. You got to have some kind of plan in place for those new teachers, because that I think would lead to teacher burnout a lot faster than maybe it needs to happen. You know what I mean? Than it would normally happen. You know, and I try really hard for that one particular teacher that was my student teacher, and now he works there. I mean, we talk almost every day. You know, we'll talk every Sunday, and just, even though, you know, we did all of our planning, you know, on our PLC time, and we've got our week ready, just, okay, are you ready for the week? Do you have any questions? You know, we do a little powwow every, you know, Sunday night, evening, just about the week in general. And, you know, we text all day long, you know, we talk, but, you know, that he needs that, you know, he needs to be able to on a dime, be able to reach out to somebody if there's a question or if he needs help or whatever.
That's the beauty of texting. I didn't have that.
Yeah,
texting's right. I know, for that, for teachers. What a
yes,
support.
It is.
Another suggestion is to, you know, don't make education your life, which I'm kind of guilty of that, because teachers are like notorious for always being on the lookout for new ideas to bring in the classroom. And that's terrible because I was that person who was always Googling and looking and researching. And that's how I spent my entire summer. I was like, look, oh my gosh, let's try this. I want to try this. And then this is why people hated me. I would send out all kinds. I know. I would send all kinds of emails like, check this out. Look at this. Look at this. And then after a while, they'd be like, could you stop emailing me? I'm on summer vacation. And I'm like, looking for new ideas is what got me energized. That kind of gave me new blood, new things to try. But that's my personality. You know, and coming up with things, ways to be innovative and creative. I love that. But other people are just, they just need to like put it aside for a while, you know? And so I think you have to figure out who you are.
Yeah.
And then stay away from people like me. If that's not We've covered a lot of information here about what burnout causes. And I still think, and maybe you can tell me if you think I'm correct, that student discipline and all of the other types of things that we're supposed to be giving to students, especially with all the socio-emotional learning and all that kind of support we're supposed to be delving out, that's stressful too for teachers.
Yeah. Well, like imagine a day, just imagine a day, right? You get to work. And you start your day off, you're going through your lessons and you're teaching and you're not having to stop all the time and ask kids to be quiet or deal with discipline problems or whatever. Can you just imagine what that day would look like? What a freaking phenomenal day. You know, or even if you could just take your discipline problems and cut them in half. That I would be, woohoo, I would be in such a good mood, like not having to stop and, you know, okay, you know, I need it quiet in 3, 2, 1, or whatever your system is, you know, you're sitting here talking and this kid turns around and starts a conversation with somebody else. It's just flat out, just disrespect. And I don't care. You could be the best teacher in the freaking world. You can have the rules. You can have the classroom. It doesn't matter. Like the type of child that is coming into our classrooms now is a different beast, right? It's a very different beast with such a greater lack of respect, no fear of consequences. I mean, I can go down a rabbit hole and week. This could be start a whole nother episode right now. But if your work day looked like a professional work day, what a classroom should look like. I would have the best job on the planet. I would freaking love it. If I actually got to teach all day and, you know, have those positive, only positive interactions with the kids, it would be great. I don't think I would have any burnout. I wouldn't have any burnout. Yeah. I wouldn't be exhausted. I probably wouldn't be having, headaches. I would, you know, I would be in a better mood. So when I came home, I'd want to exercise. I'd want to cook. I'd want to, you know, it would be easier to make more me time. I would be nicer to my kids, whatever the scenario would be. Like, I think that's huge. That is a huge one. Not having to deal with bullshit all day long, you know, disciplinary type of things. Oh my gosh, it would be amazing.
That's what I always said. I always said teaching is 15% teaching and 85% discipline, you know?
Serious. It's ridiculous. The ratio's off. Yeah. It's
awful. And that really is the key, I think, to changing what's going on in classrooms is figuring out how to get these kids re-engaged in school. And that would make everybody's job a lot different. You can't expect a kid nowadays to come into class, sit down, get out their pencil and paper and look at you, you know, with enthusiastic eyes waiting for you to impart knowledge upon their brain. That's just don't work like that anymore. And unfortunately, what it does require to engage kids now is more work on a teacher's part. But once you can find the recipe for it, your classes are wonderful. Yeah. Once you have a classroom where kids are engaged and creative and working on something that's meaningful, I think that changes a lot, but it takes work to change your curriculum to get there. And if you're burnt out already, the thought of going through
good
and
luck.
Making, yeah, exactly. So it's almost like a you know, what do you call it? A cycle. It keeps going. What do you call it? And a never ever ending circle. It's just, I'm too tired to do it. And because I'm too tired to do it, the students get bad. And because the students are bad, I'm too tired to do it. So it has to be, there has to be some major overhaul in how classes and curriculum and stuff is delivered. And it has to come from the top down. It's going to have to come from some progressive administration that's like, we're done with this bullshit way of doing things, and make and be brave enough to make the changes that are necessary to do that.
Right. And only positive things, right? Because if you have kids that are, you know, more engaged, less disciplined, you're going to get more shit done, right? Your test scores are going to go up. It's just like, hello.
It is.
Getting there.
It's hard. It's hard to get there when you've got a whole group of people now who are just like, I can't, don't ask me to do one more thing. It's almost like you'd have to shut down school for, cover your ears, parents. You'd have to like shut down school for a year and revamp it and then start over. And I still think the answer would be, you know, starting and something brand new with kindergarten, and then kindergarten first, second, and integrating something, a brand new.
Go listen to our mastery podcast, people. Go listen to our mastery podcast. That's a whole new way of thinking.
There is. It's the only way to do it. And you're going to have to, it's almost like you're going to have to get people out of the classroom for a period of time to let them get their brains to reset, because expecting teachers who are already on this burnout path to try something new, to go down a new path without giving them the time away from what they're already doing, like expecting them to do things at once, like make changes and still keep your classroom going so that testing can happen. It's just not,
it's not realistic.
What advice would you give a teacher who's listening right now? And they're like, I just heard what everything you say, but I am still burnt out. Like
cut yourself some slack. Seriously. Like
step back. Don't do so step much. Back.
You can't, you can't do it all. You can't save them all. This sounds terrible. You can't save them all. You can't do it all. You know, small steps, like small, what's that saying? See, teacher burnout. I can't think. maybe every now and then take a, you know, if you can, you know, some people don't have days, but if you can take a mental health day and just get out of your own head.
But is it worth the lesson planning it's going to take? You know what I mean? You have to be able to have some lesson plans that are just super easy to leave.
Yeah. Now you got to make sub plans.
Yeah, because that always stressed me out.
Hey, we're trying to be positive here, Anne.
I'm being the cynical person on the other side that's already down that path going, but what about, you know, get the what about game? Well, what about?
Yeah.
People who are that far down are going to always have the what about. So my what about is, well, fine, I do all that, but I have horrible classroom discipline. Every day there's students that are just awful. They don't listen to me. They don't stay in their seats. They don't do any homework. I can't do it anymore. What do we say to them?
Mm-hmm.
Chirp, chirp.
Smoke weed? I don't know.
My suggestion is this. If you're super struggling with discipline and having a super hard time, and I know this sounds counterintuitive, but I went to my principal or my vice principal, and I would tell them my class, my whatever period class or my class is, I don't know what to do with them. I'm having the worst time getting them organized. I need some help. Can you come in and observe my class and help me figure out what to do differently?
Okay. Yeah. I'll be cynical now. That's great for maybe you know, a veteran teacher, an older teacher, an experienced teacher. New teachers aren't going to do that. That's going to scare them.
Do that more than they should. I think they should do that.
I think they should, or have another teacher. But think about that new teacher. You're just trying to survive. You don't want somebody coming in going, oh, they suck. They're not doing a good job, or, you know, whatever. And two, I've had some supervisors, some admin in the past. I would never do that with, because like my admin I have now, I would have no problem doing that, because I know they would give me some good advice and I'm not going to feel like, oh, it's a reflection on me. But I've had admin in the past that I would not do that. There are certain admin that I'm like, hell no, I want that person in my class as least as possible. I stay away from that person for this reason, or whatever.
Right.
But, you know,
then I guess it's like figure something out with a colleague. that
yeah,
you
that's I would go I would go that route. You know what I mean?
Like, and I'm thinking about this on my just from my perspective as a university supervisor. If I had a teacher that I'd worked with and they now let's say I'm done, they've got a job or whatever, and they were like, oh my gosh, I'm having such trouble with this class. Would you mind coming in? Go talk to those people. I mean, they're in your corner. They should be in your corner. They want to see you succeed. So reach out to those people that you're who are your advisors. Talk to your mentor teachers or your cooperating teacher that you had, and see how they would handle it. But I think if you're struggling with discipline, that is huge. And that to me is the most stressful thing of anything.
It is. It is.
And if you need to get a handle on that.
Yeah. You need to get a handle on it. And two, especially if your admin, the systems and, you know, structures they have put in place, if those aren't working, that's really hard. Because if you're struggling with behavior and you're pretty much doing all you can to do about it, you've talked to the parents, you've had meetings, whatever your systems are, and they get to that admin level and there's a breakdown at that level, then what do you do? Then what do you do? Or you don't have the support from your admin, because we've had that happen too. You know what I mean? Then what do you do? That I think is so freaking frustrating. You know, you've like, I want to just freaking scream.
That's what makes teachers leave, that right there. If you're an administrator listening to this, if you've got discipline issues going on in your classrooms or teachers are struggling, and you're not doing anything to address that, you're going to lose your teachers.
Yes, you are 100%. And teachers, if you're at that point, man, if you're not tenured, seriously, go somewhere else. Or 100%. If you are tenured, maybe go to a different school, because that is a major, at least in my brain, that's a huge freaking problem.
If you're miserable where you're at, I mean, life is too short.
Seriously.
Know? Go find another school like Jen suggested, or go, you know, find another different job, and don't be afraid to go find a different job. Believe it or not, teachers, your training, the fact that what you do in a classroom, your organizational skills, your ability to cooperate and work with others,
tech skills,
all of that is huge job application bonuses for a lot of businesses out there that are not in teaching. And there are plenty of people who are happy to have a teacher on their in their company. So if you're not cut out for it, if it's making you miserable, please do not stay. You're not doing anybody any good, including yourself.
Yeah,
you know,
you're not helping yourself. You're not helping the kids.
Not helping the kids, because believe it or not, when you are burnt out, you're affecting your students. There's lots of research that shows that teacher burnout has a huge influence on stress level.
It does.
For students. So the kids know. If you're burnout, they know. And either there are some kids who will be sympathetic, and there's others who will eat you alive because of it.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's not worth
so
it.
True.
Not worth it. So teaching's not for everybody. In my opinion, it is the most important job there is on the planet. There is no job that is more important, but it is hard, and it's not for everybody.
It is definitely not for everybody.
It's okay to wave the white flag and get out. I know plenty of teacher friends over the years who've done that. They've left the profession. They're thrilled. They're happy. Yeah. They're like,
hey,
thank God.
Don't stay friends with them, because they're going to tell you how great their life is. Just kidding.
So, I mean, they're, don't think that you're stuck in a bad place. I loved every year I taught. I did. There were struggles, like I said, but it was what I was meant to do. I don't know why I felt cranky at times and cynical, but I would never call it. I was always excited to teach and to create lessons and to make relationships with kids, always. But, you know, I spent the majority of my career before the pandemic. And I really think that after the pandemic, things have changed a lot.
Yeah.
And luckily I was on the backside of that. So for those of you who are still in the trenches, still loving your job, still making it work, you know,
kudos to you.
Exactly. Kudos to you. Thank God for you. For those of you who are struggling, find help, find a compassionate person who's not burned out Call me. Write me. Send me a comment. I'll help you. I'll help you figure it out. You know, and we'd love to hear your experiences. Are you burned out? What have you done to try to mitigate that problem? What do you suggest other people do for burnout? What's worked for you? If you're a person who is burnout, what are your reasons? Share those with us. I'm sure people would love to have somebody to commiserate with. But that's
commiserate. I love that word.
That's one of my, you know, whatever. and the other thing too is I started, there's a Facebook group called Transparency in Teaching that I'd love for you to join. And I set that Facebook group up especially for this purpose, so that if you were struggling and you wanted advice, that you could post your struggles and other kind, helpful, motivated teachers could offer you some helpful words of advice, places to look, things to do. It's a place where we can have our hands on each other's backs, and it should be a very positive place to go for help and support, because there is nobody who's going to support you like another teacher, because they know what you're going through. So go check out my our Facebook group, Transparency in Teaching. Join it, post your thoughts there, your suggestions. If you came across something that's particularly handy and helpful, we'd love to hear it there. Words of wisdom, anything that can help teachers find their way through this tough job that we do. For those of you who are burned out, please figure out, we can't lose you. We need you in the classroom as much as it's possible. So do what you need to do in order to get your head right. Talk to people. Don't give up if you can help it. There are people out there who can help you. We need you. Anyway, Jen.
All right. Another episode in the wraps.
So they say. Yes. So I hope you found today's episode awesome and inspiring and helpful. And hopefully it didn't trigger you and you turned it off 30 minutes ago.
They're like, after this episode, I quit.
Don't forget to check us out. We have a brand new website. It's called transparencyandteaching.com. It's all revamped and pretty. And so we'd love for you to check it out there. If you want any of the links, all of the research that I do for these episodes, I post all the links there on our website page in case you want to do some more reading or research on your own, or make sure that I wasn't lying to you, because I really didn't to bring you.
Make sure I wasn't lying to you.
People are today. They lie. People lie. Yeah. Tell you the truth. I want to make
news.
Sure that,
fake news.
Yeah, I hate that. I just want to make sure that you understand that I do the work. I look it up. I search for things. So so if you're interested in that for whatever reason, and if you want to see pictures of Jen and Sharon and I, you can go there and see our beautiful faces. And leave us a comment, please. We'd love to hear from you. So with that in mind, my love, happy Thanksgiving. I hope you have a nice vacation.
Gobble, gobble, gobble. You too. You
can get over your burnout before you have to go back to work.
Yeah. Much needed time off.
Yeah, I hope so. And everybody else, enjoy your time with your family.
Yes.
And friends and your food. Those are the three.
And don't do any planning. Don't do any grading. Don't do anything.
No, put it all away. Leave it in your car. Leave it in the trunk of your car. Don't even take it out.
Yeah.
That's our Thanksgiving holiday wish for you. No
schoolwork. No work.
All. Okay. All right, Jen. You have a good one. I'll talk to you soon.
Bye. All right. Bye.
You right there who's listening to us while you're grading papers, stop it.
Yeah. What's wrong with you?
Stop. Don't put it away. I'm homework grading shaming you.